step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
This is Pete Fletzer. On a special edition of Around the Galaxy, we bring you a conversation with Dan Madsen and Scott Chernoff, sharing the story of the original Star Wars Celebration.
Going into Celebration, we had the horrible Columbine High School shooting. Lucasfilm had heard about it. The next day, they called up and said, you know, we don't think we should do this convention. It wasn't the time to be celebrating anything there. Anthony was in town at that point, and he and I sat down and we said, you know, we need this to happen. We need something for Denver to celebrate.
You're listening to Around the Galaxy.
Welcome to Around the Galaxy, the Star Wars fan talk show. I am your host, Pete Fletzer. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your first visit with Around the Galaxy, well, welcome aboard. And if this is a return visit, thank you so much for coming back. Glad you could join us. Star Wars Celebration is taking place in less than a month from May 26th through the 29th in Anaheim, California. It is the 14th time that they have had a Star Wars Celebration. And the first celebration ended on this day, May 2nd, 1999. What you may not know is that Star Wars Celebration almost didn't happen that year. So many things were conspiring against making this event happen. It is a story that is almost as epic as the Star Wars saga itself. And 2 years ago, at the start of the pandemic, I had the opportunity to speak to two people who were instrumental in making it happen. Dan Madsen is a former president of the official Star Wars fan club, and he's the founder and former publisher of Star Wars Insider Magazine and the driving force behind Star Wars Celebration number one. And Scott Chernoff, who is a writer, comedian, actor. You've heard his voice on Rick and Morty. He's written for BoJack Horseman and Conan O'Brien, and he also used to be the editor of Star Wars Insider Magazine. He also happened to be one of the stage hosts at the very first Star Wars Celebration. So over the next hour, you are going to hear directly from them about all the trials and tribulations that went into bringing the very first Star Wars Celebration to life, from the tragedy of the Columbine shooting to a 100-year rainfall that hit Denver that very weekend. You'll also get other behind-the-scenes stories that you probably haven't heard before about Celebration 1, unless you listened the first time around when we first recorded this.
Oh, so you're basically recycling content at this point.
Yeah, hi, Clanker. No, I wouldn't necessarily say that we're recycling content.
So this is a cost-cutting measure so that you can make sure that I can go with you to Star Wars Celebration later this month.
Well, try as you might, Clanker. There's no way you're going to join us at Star Wars Celebration.
Oh, I'm going to be there. You watch. I have ways of getting there. You wait and see.
That sounds a little bit ominous. You want to give us some more information on that?
Well, I mean, you did use my likeness on all of the Star Wars Celebration swag that ATG Cast is giving away, am I right?
I mean, I wouldn't say all of it, but yeah, I mean, quite a bit of it, sure.
Okay, well, so here's the thing. I think people who listen to the show and know a little secret might be, you know, able to collect a little something extra as a result.
Well, what do you have in mind? We have stickers that we're giving away, and we have buttons, and those buttons do have a little bit of Clanker on them.
A little bit of Clanker. It's all me, baby. That's what I'm saying. I may not be there physically, but I will be there in spirit. So, if you are at Star Wars Celebration 2022 in Anaheim, be on the lookout for Pete and Nick, and tell them that Clanker sent you.
Okay, and what exactly is supposed to happen when they do that?
Well, be on the lookout, Pete, for something that I ordered, and don't check your credit card statement anytime, but I did order some stuff that should be arriving at the studio any day now, and I think it's something that your listeners will really enjoy.
I have a bad feeling about this.
Speaking of things your listeners will enjoy, here's Dan Madsen and Scott Chernoff after these messages.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So I'm honored and privileged to have Dan Madsen and Scott Chernoff back with us, both return guests on...
Hi, Pete. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Scott. Hi, Pete.
Are we the first repeat guests?
I think you are. I think you are the first repeat guest. Mm-hmm. No, I can't think of.
And now I'd like you to commit now to us being the only repeat guest. Well, no one else gets this honor. No one else.
Well, what I like is that you guys both were, you both had this nice connection, and to be able to bring you both on to kind of make that connection again is great. For those that aren't sure, why would I have Dan Madsen and Scott Chernoff on together?
I was wondering that myself.
besides this great opportunity to talk to these two brilliant men while we all are sort of stuck at home, it's the opportunity to, most people would celebrate, say, the 20th or 30th anniversary of an event, but I figured it might be nice to celebrate the 21st anniversary of the very first Star Wars celebration back in 1999 in Denver, Colorado, April 30th through May 2nd, I believe it was. It's been 21 years. And so these two gentlemen played a very large part in bringing it to life. And so maybe, Dan, maybe introduce yourself. Give us a little bit of your Star Wars connection.
Sure. Let's see. My name is Dan Madsen, and I started running a Star Trek fan club way back when I was in high school. And it caught the attention of Lucasfilm, who then gave me the opportunity to relaunch the official Star Wars fan club. But at that time, there was no new Star Wars, so we called it the Lucasfilm fan club. And we covered everything from Willow to Indiana Jones and such. And then when Star Wars, the prequels, started coming around, we changed the name and brought it back to the official Star Wars fan club and created a new magazine called the Star Wars Insider. We covered everything under the sun that had to do with the Star Wars prequels. And that's when around the time prior to the episode one coming out is when I got a call from Lucasfilm, Steve Sansweet in particular. Coincidentally, they had been thinking about doing a fan event, and we had been thinking about doing a fan event. So we all got together and decided, let's do an official Star Wars celebration event. And we held it in Denver because that's where I'm based. I've been born and raised in Denver, and that's where the fan club was based. So we had a big team of people here that we could utilize to put it on, volunteers and such. And so that's why the first one was held here in Denver, and the rest is history.
It's history. You can read it in the
celebration.
You can read about it in your history books.
There you go. School. That's exactly right.
And Scott, what
Star Wars history now?
Conveniently, there's no school right now, so nobody can double check that to make sure I'm telling the truth.
But I think maybe you could use this episode of the podcast as homeschooling and teach your children some they may not have known.
Oh yeah, my children are really responding well to that.
So Scott, what was your Star Wars connection back at this time?
At that time, well, you know, Dan really was way more responsible for the celebration than I was. I kind of parachuted in after all the groundwork had been laid, which is the way I like to roll generally.
Yeah, but he was an important part of Celebration, so don't let him fool you.
Thank you, Dan. Some might say the most important. By some, I mean
I would
me. Well, as we discussed last time on the podcast, so I'll just try to do it quickly. I was a writer for Star Wars Insider, the magazine that Dan was talking about. I started freelancing for the Insider sort of, it was before the special edition. So it must have been around 95, 96. And I started writing more and more. And basically from the first issue I wrote for, I just never let Dan alone. And I just kept, of course, John Bradley Snyder, who was the managing editor at that time, he was the editor in chief. He brought me in. I found him. We sought each other out, had a meeting of the minds. And eventually I assumed a staff role as managing editor of the magazine. And I did a ton of writing, and we were covering all things Star Wars, from the prequels to the classics to anything under the sun, you know, Star Wars on the Muppet Show, Star Wars toys, Star Wars bands that were named after Star Wars characters. You know, we did anything because we were just so into it. And this was really, as we talked about before, Pete, there was sort of a dark ages where Star Wars was kind of off the pop culture radar. But obviously, by the time we got to 1999, the anticipation was through the roof for episode one. And, you know, my involvement with Celebration came because I got a call from John Bradley Snyder. He gave me a call and said, hey, you know, we're doing the convention and the celebration. And would you be an MC? I know you do comedy. He knew I was a comedy actor and did a lot of improv at that time. And will you MC? Now, Dan, I don't know if you know this, but I had no idea what that meant. I had never been to a convention. I'd never been to Comic-Con. So Celebration was my first convention, my first con. And we get back to, I've always been curious who came up with the idea to not call it Star Wars Con or something, to call it Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, decision that we all made at Lucasfilm. We all sat around and we decided, what should we call it? What should we call it? And I don't recall who it was at that specific meeting.
Right.
Came up with the idea of, well, we're all celebrating Star Wars.
Yeah.
A Star Wars Celebration.
Well, I love that because it was, you know, not the typical name.
So anyway, long story short, he said, would you MC? I had no idea what it meant. So he said, you know, you interview some of the actors on stage. I said, great. I've interviewed a ton of the actors, you know, for the magazine, and I've got stage experience. I'll do it. I had no idea that that basically meant I would be on stage all day for 3 days. But it was such a great experience. It was oh my gosh, look at that little kid over there. That's me with Rick McCallum.
Yeah, I was doing some research preparing to talk, and I found somebody's website. I'll send you guys the link. I'll probably put the link in the show notes. But the guy's got all kinds of great classic pictures from
Stage B. So there's Ray Park, and I remember he did an amazing demonstration of his martial arts skills. But yeah, so John said, you know, Anthony Daniels is going to be doing stage A, and we want you to be stage B. And I mean, to me, that's a huge honor to be, you know, I mean, Anthony Daniels is a legend. And obviously, as Dan will discuss, was also very heavily involved in the celebration. He was very involved in the magazine. He's just an amazing guy. And to be sort of the R2-D2 to his C-3PO in that scenario was just a huge honor. And that's how I got involved. And you know, Dan can speak a lot more to the planning of the event. I was just planning what I was going to do on stage, which we'll get to. A lot of had to be kind of thrown out the window and improvised on day one when we started early. Yeah. But that was my involvement. I came in a few days before it started, back when the torrential rains were about to start. I mean, Dan's going to tell you all about the obstacles that he faced that the team really, and it was Dan, John, and Anthony, from what I understand, were sort of dealing with all this between the tragic shooting at Columbine that happened nearby just before, and then these unseasonal, unexpected rains were for this event that half of which was outdoors or planned to be. And I just kind of came in a few days before and everything was crazy. And I was there just for the event, and it was incredible experience. I'm sure that you can talk more.
Yeah. So Dan, tell us a little bit about that, because you know, there was all the planning that was going into it for all this time. And then just before the event, you had two gigantic things to deal with.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was, I still don't know how it all came off, to be quite frank. But one thing I will say, I just want to cut in here, is that without people like Anthony and Scott, who were basically the MCs of our two main stages, we needed talented people who could do improv, just take it right off the top of their head and go with it, run with it. And Scott just did an amazing job. And unfortunately, I wished I could have gotten into the second stage B to see Scott more often. I was running all over the place trying to keep everything.
A whirlwind. Going.
But I wished I could have watched more, but everything I had heard and what I got to see was just brilliant. And, you know, while we had, you know, Scott on the second stage and we had Anthony on the first stage, I mean, we were in good hands from that perspective. We knew we were going to do great. So that was not an issue for us at all. But yes, going into Celebration, two weeks prior, we had the horrible Columbine High School shooting. And that was here in Denver, and it was not that far away from where Celebration was being held. And it was quite a tragic event, and it was, of course, top of the news everywhere around the world. Lucasfilm, had heard about it. And the next day they called up and said, we don't think we should do this convention. We think that it's having it here in Denver with the Columbine shooting just happening there, that it wasn't the time to be celebrating anything there at this time. Right. And so Anthony was in town at that point, and he and I sat down and we said, actually, we need this to happen, a celebration. We need something for Denver to celebrate. Right. It's important for us to be able to have something this special come to Denver and help raise the spirits of people. And we have people all over the world who had already planned to come here and had bought tickets. So we sat on the phone, Anthony and I, in my office with Lucasfilm. And we argued the point that it needed to stay on. And they said, well, let us talk with George and we'll get back to you tomorrow. So in the meantime, I immediately went to the mayor of Denver and I said, hey, we're on the precipice of losing this show, and we really need this to happen because the city needs this sort of shot in the arm, this kind of celebration. He completely agreed. He says, oh my gosh, you can't cancel that. So he got on right away, and he wrote a letter and faxed it over to Lucasfilm and from the office of the mayor and said, please don't cancel the show. Denver needs this more than ever right now.
Yeah.
Between Anthony and I and the mayor's letter, we convinced them to let it go forward. But we all agreed that we needed to do some sort of a moment of silence at the beginning of the show. And we raised money for the Columbine victims. We made all these little ribbons that everybody that came to the show would wear on their shirts. And we raised a lot of money for the families and victims of the Columbine High School shooting. So,
and it was no small feat. It was no small feat for Dan and his team to mobilize all of this stuff. There was so much going on, and we haven't even gotten to the weather. And in the midst of that, they're now also creating these ribbons and, you know, figuring out how, what's the mechanisms for how we're going to raise money for the families of the victims. And not to mention some new rules that were issued, because as we know, people come to conventions in costume, and Lucasfilm, was it Lucasfilm who issued the edict?
Yeah.
No guns. No guns.
No blasters.
No blasters. Nothing. As I tell my children, they're not guns in Star Wars. They're blasters.
Right.
No blasters. Right. Yeah. And that was, I mean, a whole extra layer for you to organize at the very last minute for an event that you'd been planning for, you know, how long? A year?
Well, and the amazing thing too about that. Yeah. The thing about that too is that that was, you know, 21 years ago, and so much of Star Wars fan sort of activities now, not because of that, but in spirit of the way the Star Wars community is, they raise money. There's a lot of charity work done by groups like the 501st and other things. And so people using Star Wars as a charity event, you know, obviously.
And they were there.
Like, yeah,
they were there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Patrolling.
Without blasters.
They were. Yeah.
Without blasters.
Without blasters. But I remember, I have a vivid memory of sitting on stage at some point over the course of this weekend, because the whole thing was a whirlwind. And, you know, I was, unlike Anthony, you know, I wasn't a part of the movies, or I was a big fan who had now made a bit of a career covering it. But, you know, we were all fans, and unlike the conventions of today, it was not, you know, put on by people with experience professionally putting on conventions. This was put on by, I mean, Dan is a fan and he's a businessman and he's very accomplished, but this was, I believe, a first for you. But I remember sitting there on stage as a fan, and I was interviewing Rick McCallum, the producer of the new Star Wars trilogy. And I looked, just kind of had this out of body moment. You know, the movie was about to come out, and I looked out, we were on our stage, you know, we're in these giant tents, and, but there were sort of mesh windows sort of, and I looked over and I just saw a stormtrooper patrolling. It was probably that moment. And it was obviously a member of the 501st, you know, but I remember just thinking, how did I get here? How did I get here? This is amazing.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Clanker, and apparently I'm also doing commercials now.
Nice. Just do the read.
Fine. Have you ever been listening to a podcast and thought, I wish I was a part of that conversation? Well, of course you have. Otherwise, have you made it this far into this episode?
Okay, that's nice.
Well, with the ATGCast podcast stream, you can be part of every show.
That's right. Join the ATGCast Patreon program today, and for as little as $3 per month, you'll receive a private link to be part of the live video stream when we record Podcast of the Wills and Around the Galaxy.
There are multiple programs to choose from, all with their own unique benefits, including early ad-free access to the shows, free swag, and even invitations to exclusive meet and greets with our celebrity guests. Hey, can I do a meet and greet?
Sure you can.
Ooh, I can't wait to meet the patrons.
No, they're not going to meet you. They're going to meet the guests. Never mind. Remember, every single tier, including the $3 entry level, gets you into the live virtual studio audience when we record. We keep an eye on the live chat, and your question or comment could become a part of our very next episode.
Just visit
That's www.atgcast.com or patreon.com/atgcast.
And now, back to the show. Hey, how'd I do?
I mean, it was pretty good.
Pretty good. I nailed it. Right. I'm a natural.
I'm not sure I'd go that far.
So you were dealing with all the issues with Columbine and the tragedy, and at the same time trying to make sure this event still went off, and then Mother Nature threw a wicked curveball at you. Right? What happened right before the show?
The worst rain in 100 years hit Denver on that weekend. And, you know, just as a side note, we tried to get the Denver Convention Complex to hold the convention in, but they had already been booked with the, what was it? The
Was it the NRA? Yeah, the NRA.
Yeah, the NRA had their convention going on there.
You can't and really trip like that.
I know, and they refused to cancel it after the shooting.
They refused to cancel. They said Star Wars or nothing. We don't care. And we couldn't get the convention center, and Lucasfilm didn't want to change the date. So we were stuck. So we fortunately did find the big hangars at the wings over the Rockies Air and Space Museum. And that thank God we had that, because, you know, without that, we wouldn't, we were kind of lost. We weren't sure if we could do it.
And it wasn't like in the current environment where they decide, oh, where should we do a Star Wars celebration this year? And I don't know how it works. Convention centers maybe bid, or they see what's free on that weekend. This had to be done in the Denver area because that's where Dan's company was based.
Right.
That's right, Scott. You're exactly right. So
thank you. Finally, somebody's willing to say I'm right.
You're always right.
Finally.
I'm concerned.
Okay. All right. So let me turn that up for my wife.
I'll clip that out for you.
Thank you.
Put it on your phone. You'll have it right.
You're going to notice throughout this interview that the funny one here is Scott. He's hilarious. And he's got, he's a comedian. He's done a lot of writing. So I'm bland compared to you, Scott. So,
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm your humble servant, Dan. That's all.
But yeah, you know, and then we built these big, what I'd call circus tents outside of the wings over the Rockies hangar, and that's where we held the stages. We had Anthony in one and Scott in the other, and next door to each other. Poured down on us.
Didn't we have a
big giant puddle right in front of the main right?
Yeah,
front of
your and main there was stage
there.
Yes, and forgot about that. Sometimes on the stage there would be a puddle.
Yeah.
And there'd be lighting and there were electronics. But I mean, this was like, I mean, now I think people who were there kind of look back with a fondness. It was like Woodstock, you know, in a way. But it was, I can't overstate, you know, when I think the first night that I arrived was fairly low key. We went out to dinner and kind of talked about what was going to be happening. And it was like, well, we're getting these weather reports. We don't know what's going to happen. By the next day, it was like all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. It was like, we have to cover up, because there was a lot going on in the hangars, but then there was a lot for what was like the parking lot or outside the hangars, which was a big dirt lot. And this became a big mud lot. And then we were putting up, you know, coverings over the exhibitor booths and the merchant booths, whatever was out there, and just racing to get everything as protected from the weather as we could before the rains really started pouring down. And boy, did they start pouring down.
Did the rain start? It started like the morning that the show started, right?
It was, you know, I woke up that morning, the first morning of the show, and I knew that the forecast had said that the rain was coming, and I kept thinking, well, maybe they're wrong. And so when I woke up, and I mean, it was pouring, Pete. It wasn't just like, you know, a soft English rain. It was pouring. It was absolutely coming down like
with no let up.
I mean, constant throughout the entire, except the last day, it finally started clearing up and we had a little bit of blue sky, but there was water puddles everywhere. You looked, and you know, these tents that I was telling you about, we were assured that they were waterproof. They told us, oh, no problem. They're going to be waterproof. Nothing will get in. Well, they didn't plan on it being the worst rain in 100 years kind of rain. And there were leaks in parts of it, and there was puddles of water all over. And, it, you know, it was, like I said, I'm still amazed that we actually survived the thing, because if anything could go wrong, it did.
You know, I remember, I'm sorry, Pete, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so you had people lined up outside in the rain to get in. How many people came to this event?
Oh, we had something like, you know, we didn't ever get an exact count, but I think it was somewhere in the range of about 25,000 people.
It was a lot of people. And what I was going to say is I remember that first day, a lot of people were on the convention floor, or they had to wait in line to get in, which was a whole other issue. But a lot of people were lined up outside the two tents, the Anthony Daniels tent and the one I was in, waiting for the opening ceremonies that Anthony and Dan were going to do. And then all the, you know, just parade of actors and behind the scenes artists who were going to be interviewed. And they were out there. And I remember Anthony going down the lines and cheering people up and, you know, really having a lot of personal interactions with, I mean, he was the unsung hero, or maybe the sung hero of that event. But one of my most vivid memories of the celebration was on that first day when, you know, there was the opening ceremonies were going to be first on stage A, and nothing was to be happening at that point on stage B. And then at some point, maybe a few hours into the day, I don't remember what time, was when the stuff was going to start happening on stage B. But what I clearly remember was John telling me that, you know, after people were outside in the pouring rain, that really miserable, cold, freezing rain for a couple hours, he was like, you got to go on and you just got to start. But the guests weren't scheduled still until whatever time, you know, 1 o'clock or something. And it's not 10 o'clock, whatever this was. It was a few hours away. I said, well, what am I supposed to do? He goes, wing it. Just wing it. And
that's why I'm saying, Scott, we need somebody like you that could just go on there at a moment's notice and take it.
Well, what was great is that, you know, there was no plan for that time. And I was, you know, I wasn't nervous to be on stage because that's what I do, blah, blah, blah. But I was sort of, how are we going to fill this time? Or the people are going to be miserable from waiting in the rain. Well, it turned out, A, they were very happy to have been let in early.
Right.
But B, it was the Star Wars crowd that was there. It was like, everybody was so excited. Star Wars was back. We were all amongst our people. Mm-hmm. And there was such an electricity in the air that day. I mean, the whole weekend, but especially that first day. And the crowd got on stage, the hall or the tent, whatever, it was packed. Mm-hmm. I mean, standing room only. And I got on stage with no guests, no preparations. I do a couple minutes of, you know, like, how's everybody doing? Everybody's excited and everybody's happy. Nobody's throwing tomatoes or rocks at me, flinging mud, and, you know, make a few jokes about the weather. And then I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to take questions from the audience. So just line up, you know, I've been working, I've read the script to the Phantom Menace. I've, you know, interviewed all of the stars. I know all the secrets of the movie. Come up and ask me questions and get in line. But there's, of course, very strict rules about what I could talk about. That embargo had not been lifted yet. Nobody outside of, you know, this loop had seen the movie or read the script as we had. So the first question, I can't remember what the question was specifically, but it was one that I could not answer. And I vividly remember looking at the person, looking at the audience and saying, I hear your question. I can tell you that I cannot tell you the answer. However, there is an answer and you will find out. And the place exploded cheering. They were so excited. And so the audience really made it easier for me because I realized that the fact I could just telling them yes, there is an answer to your question. I can confirm there's an answer to your question, and you'll find out in 3 weeks. And that carried me through somehow a lot of questions and answers. You know, not everything was about the prequels, so I got to some that I could answer, but that's what I did for 2 or 3 hours before the first guest arrived.
Wow. I mean,
it was brilliant. I mean, Scott just got up there and took it over. And, you know, I can still remember John coming back and saying, you know, what had happened and how, Scott, you had to just kind of wing it. And he was like, I remember saying to him, I said, oh my God, I said, can he do that? And he says, oh yeah, don't worry about it. Scott's got it handled. And I was like, okay. And sure enough, you sure did, man. I'm telling you what, we were so lucky to have you. I keep saying this.
Well,
I don't get an opportunity to talk to Scott all that often. So while I have him here, I want to publicly let people know how important of a role he played at Celebration One, and John Snyder too. So, you know, Pete, if you ever get a chance, you really should talk to John, because he was integral to the
event and to the magazine.
Right.
And to the magazine as well.
I also,
and company as well.
And I really appreciate that, Dan, but I will say a couple of things real quick and then I'll stop babbling. But number one, I really appreciate that. And I was just as lucky because, you know, you and John were the ones who kind of let me into this world that I, you know, really loved, and let me onto the other side of that curtain. And it was so meaningful to me. And for several years, I was able to make my living as a Star Wars journalist. And that's thanks to you, John, and you. And it means a lot to me. And otherwise, I don't know how I would have been supporting myself during that time. So thank you. And I also want to say,
really nice of you to say, Scott,
but Dan is a legend in the Star Wars community, deservedly so. But let me, and so, you know, I'm thrilled to be a small part of Dan's story. But while I get all this great credit from Dan, I want to say that what Anthony Daniels was doing on the main stage blew my stage away 1,000-fold. He had the golden jacket on. He had he had entire routines and monologues and performances that he had rehearsed and perfected that the audience just loved. And he was masterful and so engaging and charismatic. You know, he really made that celebration memorable for, I think, so many fans.
He was really, you know, the unsung hero, as Scott said. He really was. He put his heart and soul into helping us make that, you know, a very special show. And he, as Scott said, you know, he went out into the rain, you know, went one-on-one with the fans. But, you know, the main thing about Anthony's got, you know, he's got a great sense of humor, and he's also able to just do, you know, ad lib things right off the top of his head.
Yes,
you know, that his talent was recognized by Lucasfilm because he hosted many more of the celebrations.
Yes, he did.
So, you know, he's
I did a couple more too, Dan.
He's brilliant. I don't know what else to say about him, except he's brilliant. He remains to this day a very dear friend, and I talk to him quite often. And, you know, he and I still reminisce about that first.
You know, I need to reach out to Anthony. I need to get his contact info from you, because I got to tell you, this is what they call a humble brag. So it's really a brag, but I was blown away in reading Anthony's autobiography, not just because he's always a great writer and storyteller, but that he mentioned me when he was talking about the celebration.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that blew me away. I was so honored. Yeah. And one of my other incredibly vivid and treasured memories of that event was the day before, when I guess the rain must have started the night before, or maybe I'm thinking of early in the morning the day of. I don't know, but I just know at one point, Anthony said, you know, you've been, Scott, the one who's been interviewing all these people, he's like, I basically, he realized that he had prepared so much for his opening ceremony and his banter and his, I believe we had Don Bees there performing R2-D2, and there was interaction with Anthony and R2-D2. And he said, I realized I don't really, I'm also going to be interviewing these actors, and although I've, and craftspeople, and although I've met them, most of them, and worked with many of them, I don't know enough about them. I don't know what to ask them. And you've done all this interviewing. And so Anthony and I sat in my rental car in the parking lot there as, because we didn't have like offices or a green room or anything like that. We had nowhere.
There was nothing
like that. And we sat in that rental car as these torrential rains were pouring down, just pounding the car. You know, it sounded like hail, whether or not there was hail. It was just relentless. And we sat in that rental car for a couple hours. And we went over everybody he was going to interview and what I knew about them and what their career was and like thought of questions. And in the meantime, many anecdotes from his Star Wars career were sprinkled throughout and much gossip. And it was just, you know, such a great experience to sit in that car surrounded by all this rain that was, we were sort of taking shelter from the storm. And that was such a, I mean, just to be able to do that is, as a fan of Star Wars, well, and of Anthony, is a dream come true.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What were some of your favorite memories from the, I mean, there was a lot of like, clearly there's a lot of events, you know, as an event itself, it's got just, there's a very important part to you personally and to the Star Wars fandom, but were there any particular moments that just stick out to you as just favorite parts or interviews for you, Scott or Dan, events and things that happened that just stick out as that was what made it super special? Or,
well, you know, I spent the majority of my time on that stage. There was so much there that I wanted to do. I mean, they had the giant life-size X-wing in the hangar. There was like a video room, which if I was just there casually, I would have probably spent 5 hours just sitting in the video room watching all the rarities and clips and stuff. That was great. And there was like the old Star Wars arcade games were there. But so most of my memories are on stage. The only the things that stick out the most for me, I saw, and I've been to several Comic-Cons since, I saw my favorite convention costume of all time. And that was a guy dressed as the original Darth Vader action figure. So I don't know if you saw this guy, Dan, I wish I had a picture of him. A vinyl cape standing up, just like the old Kenner action figure. And he had in his arm built in the lightsaber. Old people like the three of us will remember those original lightsabers and the action figures. And I just was blown away by the creativity of that costume. And, you know, other than that, because it's such a whirlwind, I believe I got a, you know, quick lunch break every day, and I made sure to circulate throughout the convention during any break that I had, but mostly what I remember is the camaraderie of putting it on and sort of weathering the storm and how the audience and the people putting it on kind of were in it together. You know, it was like this, the rains and all the obstacles. And then on that third day, that Sunday, I believe it was, the clouds parted and the sun shone down and everybody was, you know, ecstatic. I also want to show off one.
I know thing, I
my
was.
Favorite. Yeah, I know you were. But here's my, I pulled out my favorite souvenir from the convention. And this was fully a Star Wars fan club, Dan Madsen, John Bradley Snyder exclusive. And it might, I hope it still fits me because it was way too big for me when I got it. And so now it's probably too small for me. And that is, let's see if I can put it on here, my pod racing jacket.
Ooh.
Which is like a
jacket, the windbreaker.
But it's like a NASCAR jacket, sort of, but for pod racing.
Oh, yeah.
It does. It fits me perfectly now.
Look at that.
And so.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's got, what's it got here? Star Wars Celebration is stitched in. And then let's see, I'll take this off and see if you can see from the back what's going on here. Do you see that?
Oh, it's a.
Do I need to lower myself? Well, I can't hear you. So there we go.
That's awesome.
Work it, Scott.
That's beautiful.
I was asking you if you heard, if you could see it, and then I realized that I couldn't hear a word you're saying.
No, we saw it. That's great. It's got the pod racers on the back.
I haven't seen that jacket since 1999.
I don't know why.
I don't have one of those. I have the Darth Maul face embroidered black baseball jacket. I still have that, but I don't have one of those windbreakers.
Oh, I don't have the other. I don't have the Darth Maul one, so we're even.
Well, there you go. Well, you have one, I have the other.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing. I so love the fact that you still have that.
So I'm really glad that I still have it because, like, my son, who's 4 and a half, loves the pod race and, you know, anything that involves vehicles moving quickly. So perhaps one day he'll grow into this.
That's amazing. That's great. Were there any particular interviews that you conducted on stage that just stuck out to you?
I should have been wearing this the whole time. That would have been a cool reveal. Let's start over.
Like the reveal.
Back to the beginning. The interviews I remember the most are Ray Park, because he would also do a demonstration of his martial arts skills, which also became an issue because suddenly there were puddles on stage. So I remember just cringing, you know, anytime he got near a puddle, I was terrified that, you know, he was going to, this was going to be the event that killed Ray Park.
But it must have been interesting because I can't imagine, because I, unfortunately I was not there. But I can't imagine. I mean, it must
not
be
a true fan.
No, I know. I must not be true. But it must have been interesting because nobody had really seen Darth Maul in action. So it was just this really talented martial artist who you knew was going to be red and black, and you saw him in the trailer. But because there was no scenes yet, so it must have been just.
We had footage there. We had actually footage that we showed on Amphistage, a big screen there, and we actually got to show some of the duel between Darth Maul and Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon.
Oh, awesome.
So, and of course, people got to see him in action as Darth Maul on the big screen there that we had on the main stage.
And they'd seen him in trailers, and we in the magazine had been hyping him. I mean, remember, for those who are watching this now, there was no StarWars.com at this point.
Right,
that's right. If there, no, wait, not, I correct myself. There was a StarWars.com, but not as we know it.
Right.
It wasn't exactly the place for breaking news at that point yet.
Right.
It was, you know, it was the 90s still. Right. So we had been hyping Darth Maul and the trailers, obviously. I remember interviewing, I also have strong memories of interviewing Pernilla August, who played Shmi Skywalker. I think that's because I had a little crush on her at the time. But
yeah.
And of course, you know, somebody else we should talk about who was a big part of the celebration, who has experienced, you know, a lot of ups and downs in the Star Wars community, was Ahmed Best.
Right.
And he was great as an interview. He's super funny, friendly, charismatic guy. The audience loved him. And keep in mind, nobody had seen the movies yet. There was no anti-Jar Jar contingent out there. And, you know, maybe Dan can talk a little bit about this too, but on the, I believe the Saturday night of the celebration at a separate location at like a, basically a club, like a, or like a, a music venue, a rock club or something in the Denver area. Ahmed and his band played, and it was an event called the Jar Jar Jam. And it was like this big rock show that people were dancing. I mean, imagine a hall full of, you know, nerds like us just dancing with abandon.
That was actually
the Jar Jar Jam
synagogue.
Oh, okay. Well, you did such a good job with it that I thought it was like some sort of cool club
for Ahmed. And I don't know if you remember, were you there, Scott, but if they Ray Park got up on stage and yes, he and Ahmed did a bit of a rap together up there.
They were freestyle rapping. It was very surreal.
Freestyle and rap, yeah.
And you know, I was, as I'm sure Dan was, just physically and mentally exhausted at that point, because keep in mind, this was Friday and Saturday all day was, I mean, there was all the prep for the convention,
sure,
which was much huger on Dan's end than mine, as I've mentioned, but I, you know, had some, and then the just physicality of being there all day, kind of being on stage all day, Friday and Saturday, very little sleep. And I remember just like, I didn't want to go anywhere that night.
Right.
I just wanted to go to the hotel and sleep. And I remember this was also pre-GPS. I got lost on the way. I really got lost, I think, for like a half hour. And I was, oh my God, that probably because I was so fatigued and I just couldn't focus. And I remember just, why am I going? And I went there and it was just so euphoric. Everybody was so, it was this tremendous release.
Yeah.
At the end of Saturday night, and the whole place was packed and people were so happy and positive. And then the next morning, you know, the sun came out. So that was, to me, sort of the Jar Jar Jam, which I somewhere still have a little flyer for the Jar Jar Jam. The Jar Jar Jam was like sort of the catharsis of the whole weekend, sort of the peak. And then it was a downhill and a smooth, easy breezy, fun, sort of almost, now we're getting nostalgic day on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. That's great.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. You're right, Scott.
Thank you. Once again,
it's true.
Once again, I've been proven right.
So Dan, what were some highlights?
Twice tonight.
First two times in a long time.
What were some stuff that,
you're out of roll, that, my friend.
What's that got for you, Dan? As I mean, other than just making it through this whole thing,
there are several memories for me that really stand out. Number one, that Anthony came to town 2 weeks prior to the show, so he and I literally hung out for 2 weeks together. He came over to my house, and I went over to the hotel where he stayed. We went out to dinner all the time. So he and I, we had a lot of 2 weeks of bonding there, and I really got to know Anthony extremely well during that time period. You know, another probably very special moment was at the end of the event, Anthony asked me to come up on stage, and he kind of noted that, you know, he says, you know, Dan's the one who was behind all of this. And, you know, he kind of introduced me to the crowd, and then the crowd stood up and started chanting my name and such. And that was a pretty special moment. And then I got to introduce everybody else that was involved with it, you know, John Snyder and Steve Sansweet and such. And, you know, we haven't talked much about Steve, but Steve played an important role in this as well. He came out the week before and he worked on, you know, the script for the stage, the main stage and such. So Steve Sansweet played an integral role for Celebration One as well. And he was the one who initially called me to say, hey, you know, let's do this. And why don't you come out to Skywalker Ranch and let's sit down and chat about it, you know? But then the other thing I have to say is that, you know, just the fact that we made it happen with all of the obstacles that we went through, the fact that I'd never put on a convention in my life. This was the very first one I'd ever done. And so, like I say, you know, to this day, I sit here and I think, how did we actually make that happen with all the obstacles we had thrown at us? But 2 days after the convention ended, I got a bottle of champagne with a note from Gordon Radley, who at that time was the president of Lucasfilm and George Lucas, saying that they loved the show. They were really proud that we survived it and did so well. And congratulations. And
we survived.
That was pretty special for them to have sent that and said, you know, you did a great job. Way to go. You know, we know and all the challenges you faced and you made it happen and it was great. So, That was also special. So, you know, those are three events. And then the other one was walking around in the main hangar with all the fans and everybody asking if they could have an autograph because they thought I was Warwick Davis. That was a fun moment.
Oh, I forgot. You know, Warwick.
I said, I'm not Warwick Davis, but I said
Warwick was also an amazing guest.
You can find him and you can get his autograph.
I want to say that Warwick Davis, as anybody who's been to any of these things knows, is an amazing guest. I believe he's emceed at some later conventions. And when I also emceed at Celebration 2 and Celebration 4, and any time at any of these three celebrations that Warwick was going to be, it was almost like a break for me because he just takes the mic himself and he runs into the audience and starts interacting with people and letting them ask him questions one-on-one, and he's got so much charisma that it was just always amazing. It was like a burden lifted because, you know, some people are not, they're actors. They may be great at acting, or a lot of people I interviewed were behind the scenes people. So they're not necessarily used to doing interviews, speaking on stage. There's a lot of heavy lifting for the moderator to do, but not with Warwick.
That's great.
And I Steve Sansweet, I will concur, just was always a hero during everything to do with Star Wars Insider and the fan club and the convention. And you know, he's good. He's good people.
Yeah.
He's got a few cool toys. Got a few cool toys.
Yeah, one or two hanging around.
That photo of you and Anthony that Pete has shown a couple of times is just so classic. Dan.
They're hilarious together. Anthony. The Star Wars celebration in Chicago. And he and Anthony were on stage together, and I swear they were like a comedy duo. I wanted to see a TV show with those two on it. Those two working together are hilarious.
I always, you know, I've always thought, you know, if I had the power, which I, you know, at some point I thought maybe I would, but it hasn't happened yet. But I'm like, I would cast Anthony in so many things. He's so good. And, you know, outside of that costume, there's so much he can do.
Yeah. Yeah, and he tells a great story too. His book is so good to read as a fan, and I don't know if you guys have seen it, but I just found it, Wired magazine did an interview with him, which is on YouTube, where it talks about the different versions of the 3PO costume, and he walks you through it, and it's great. It's like 15 minutes. It's really well done, and it's just cool to see him and the 3PO costume and his book really reminds you of just that love affair, love hate at times, I think, with the character.
I've got major celebration vibes when it was probably now about almost 10 years ago, maybe, when I saw that Star Wars in concert. Did either of you see that? Yeah. Anthony hosted, and I believe he was very involved in producing the event. It was also amazing. I mean, you got a bottle of champagne. That's very nice. I got, it wasn't from the same people. What was the woman who, I'm forgetting her name. Maybe it's better I don't say her name. She's a lovely woman who was in charge of publishing at Lucasfilm. Oh, yeah. And I can't remember if it was after, I think it was after episode one. Yeah, it was released. And she sent me a very nice thank you note, you know, for all I had done, you know, for the release of episode one. It was probably a semi-form letter. And it came with a Darth Maul piggy bank where you pressed a button and Darth Maul made sounds and moved around. And I remember, I'm sure she doesn't. You remember that bank? I think we might have sold it in the magazine too. And I saw her at Comic-Con soon after that. I just ran into her there. And we said hello. And I remember she was going up on an escalator as this exchange, the end of this exchange happened. It's very quick. Hello, how are you? And, you know, I said, oh, you know, thank you for that note. It was very nice or whatever. And she said, oh, did you get the gift? You know, the bank, the piggy bank. She said, yeah. And, you know, I said, yeah, I think there was a problem with it. And she said, what was the problem? It was completely empty. she did not she appreciate it. She just sort of like was like, all right, Scott, goodbye. And got on the escalator and bid her adieu. I was like, hey, come on, you guys made like $1 billion on this movie. Thanks for the empty piggy bank.
Yeah.
That's very funny. So you said, Scott, that you did Celebration 1, 2, and 4.
Four. Yes, I skipped 3.
Yeah, well, everybody skips the third one. never do the third, they always
say. What they offered me, you know, I was basically a volunteer and a very willing and happy volunteer at Celebration 1. Celebration 2 and 4, which Dan was not producing, that's when I got to move in for the kill and negotiate a payment. So, but yeah, I did.
Now, Dan, did you do any further celebrations after 1? Or did you?
You've appeared at a celebration, right, Dan?
I've appeared at them. Yeah, I was at this last one, which we were celebrating the 20th anniversary of the first celebration. So I was on stage with Anthony, and we reminisced about everything that went on during the first one, and I made several appearances, and I appeared at some of the other ones as well. So, but the first one was the only one I had anything to do with, and. I have to admit, after the first one, I was ready to not do it anymore.
You were ready to pass the baton.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Yeah, 2 and 4 were very different in terms of the, you know, level of production and how it was all done. And like I said, you know, like all the pay and the hotel, everything was, I mean, not that there was any problem with the hotel in Colorado. It was wonderful. Everything was great. But I mean, despite all that, I'd say I remember very little of those two. I'm sure they were fun events for the fans. They were fun for me. But the one that I really remember fondly and think back on with a lot of love is Celebration 1. And it was the first of its kind.
Yeah.
I don't know I don't know how many celebrations there have been since then, but I don't know how many there would have been if Dan and John and Steve and Anthony hadn't been able to pull off Celebration 1. That's a major contribution to Star Wars fandom. And before I relinquish the mic, I also want to point out that Dan is also a character in The Phantom Menace. Okay, I'm done. Nobody should ever forget the K-Doo handler.
That's right. That's right.
And the K-Doo handler. Yeah, that's right. No, I got that. Yeah, that cameo is Dan's Denna, the Cadu handler. So,
but Dan,
that was the highlight of my Star Wars experience.
If you hadn't have pulled off Star Wars Celebration, now known as Celebration 1, I don't know that there would have been a Celebration 2.
I was going to ask you guys if you had. First of all, was there a plan to eventually do more, or was this sort of a, let's see how this goes? And were you getting a sense that this was something that could continue and should continue when you were there?
Yeah, there was a plan to do. Oh, well, not right away, but eventually after a little while, they started talking about doing a second one. And, you know, they realized the first one was still, even with all of the obstacles, it was a success. So, and the fans were craving another one for when episode 2 came out, or not episode 2, you know, Attack of the Clones. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know that I would have wanted to do a second one. It just, the first one took a lot out of me, and I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. It was an amazing event, and I'll always remember it with fondness, but it was just for someone who had never run an event before, to have to do that, it was just It was really a difficult thing to try to accomplish.
Yeah.
So I'm just glad we were able to make it happen. And it was because we had amazing people all across the board, from John Snyder to Scott Chernoff to Anthony Daniels to Steve Sansweet, and then all of the amazing people that worked for me in my company volunteered to help do this. And we had some of the local people, Kathy and Steve Walker, who run the local convention here in Denver, that brought volunteers on to help manage a lot of the areas of the convention. So it was a team effort, and we had some amazing people that were up against the wall that made it happen.
Well, it's I think it's an understatement to say that fans who are, whether they're older fans like myself or fans who are like my kids who I'm planning to take to Celebration, which I'm assuming will probably be delayed due to coronavirus. But when it comes back, you know, my kids would thank you guys for getting that first one off the ground, because without that, it's interesting. The last year's Celebration really has, to me, kind of reinvigorated a lot of the Star Wars fandom. Everybody I speak to who was at the one in Chicago this past year have nothing but phenomenal memories of it. And again, as I said, without the work that you had done 21 years ago, it wouldn't have been happening. And it's become such
I'm proud of the fact that there's been 13. I was just going to say, I'm proud of the fact that there's 13 celebrations up to this point now, and you know that we started it on the road to success. So it's it's something I'm very proud of, and it, as I said, it wouldn't have happened if we didn't have an amazing team around us with all the obstacles that were thrown at us.
Yeah. What do you say, Dan? Let's go back and do 14. Number 14. Let's plan it.
But guys, thank you so much for taking an hour of your time to think, to remember and share some stories for people to who may have either been there or heard about it. But to hear it directly from you guys has been really phenomenal. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you so much for having us. And this was really fun. And thanks for giving me an opportunity to talk to Dan for an hour, because, you know, this guy, he's a mover and a shaker. He's not always going to take my calls. I mean, let's face it. Where am I trying to point at you? There you go. There you are.
Scott and I need to hook up more often. This is my. I forget how much fun Scott is and how much I love chatting with him. So
next time you're in LA,
renew our opportunity to talk with each other again.
Let's do it.
Well, that wraps it up for this episode of Around the Galaxy. Thank you to Dan and Scott, and thank you for listening. If you had fun, please like, subscribe, share, rate, and review it. Make sure to follow us on all your social media channels at ATGCast, and visit our website, ATGCast.com, for more information about this show and all the shows as part of the ATGCast podcast stream. You can find links to our merch there, and the way to become a patron, or you could just go to patreon.com/ATGCast. Our music is brought to us by the band Silver Colored Knob, and this show has been copyright 2022 Pete in the Seat Studios. Thank you so much for listening. Roger, roger.